was all a dream. I used to read Wizard magazine, Marvel versus DC. I don't wanna fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 476. Small group, Spencer's birthday. He didn't want to be here and spend it with us. I take that personally.
Dave knew all about it. He came in talking about it, so I think he provided the hookers.
Oh, I can see that.
I can too.
He's got contacts. After what we learned last week about him and Archie,
I was raunchy 2 weeks ago and corrupted last week. I don't.
Well, let's see if you can keep it together this week, okay?
I hope I can.
So I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight,
Dave.
Pat.
Dave.
Hang on, I gotta write down the episode title.
Craziness.
I know that I pre-planned.
I know. It's so unlike you.
I know.
I'm impressed and scared at the same time.
Well, I put it in a tweet, and I had to look up the tweet to make sure I didn't forget.
Oh,
I got
okay.
it right. So,
when it's my birthday, I will be here on my birthday.
Okay. Oh. Okay.
I don't think it's
I will birthday. Not. I am actually, well, I'm off on my birthday, but I'm not because we'll get to that. Because Colin has a rant. Let's see. Well, I only have one question, and it is related to what I wanted to talk about. So, was there any news? I don't remember any news or anything, but I was out of town this weekend, so I really wasn't super paying attention.
No, I don't know.
Nothing really came up? Okay.
No. I mean, we didn't talk about the thing last week, but I don't know that we want to get involved in that.
The thing?
Yeah, Marvel suing.
Oh, yeah, no. We'll leave that to the lawyers.
Yeah, they're the only ones that get rich.
True. Yeah, the mouse just pays less. So, I guess I got two things to talk about. So I'll start with the biggie, which was this was the first week of the Penguin Random House shipments. And they come Monday, but we wouldn't know that because they didn't give anybody any tracking info. Or maybe not anybody, but I didn't get any tracking info to know when the boxes were coming. I did hear they were coming Monday. I was out of town. No big deal. I'll get to it Tuesday. Monday, start seeing comments of things are not good. Very, very not good. And I'm concerned, but also know, well, there's not a whole lot I can do about it. So I get in Tuesday morning and I get the boxes and they're much smaller than I anticipated, even though I knew what we'd be getting, if that makes any sense. Diamond ships us, there's a small inner box that has two columns of comics.
Right.
And then they put two of those boxes into a bigger box.
Right.
Weight is right around 50 pounds. I think it was over the summer or a while back. When I was getting reorders, I started getting them just in the inner boxes. They'd send just the smaller box. I'd get like four of those instead of being in two bigger boxes. And my damages skyrocketed.
Right, because one box is not providing
the wall
protection.
Isn't enough. There's not enough protection. Also, a 25-pound box is more easily thrown than a large 50-pound box.
Yeah.
You're not going to throw a intentionally throw. So I heard through the grapevine that Penguin Random House was going to use boxes that were like single stacks. So it would be like half of the small diamond box. To which point my initial thing was, but those will get destroyed because they'll be easily thrown. Bob is going to go, well, I could walk that 15 feet or I can underhand this 15 feet.
Underhand it is.
Right. And I was assured that they have done extensive testing on the boxes and that they're going to be great. They know exactly what they're doing. They understand the market. They're investing all this money into infrastructure to service this. Everything is going to be good. So we get our first shipment. We've had a problem for a little bit as we couldn't get, well, as far as the graphic novels, my shipments have been not good. High casualty rate of damages due to packing, due to the cheap boxes. So I was also concerned there.
But casualty rate is an interesting way to put that, though.
Well, when you order a box and it has 88 items and 44 of them are damaged, it's like, that's not good. But again, I was assured things are going to be, this was totally different. One other thing they do, they don't provide us, well, we never get tracking for that stuff. For the books, reorders we do, which is fun when you place one reorder and it ships in 7 different packages over the course of 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's makes it real easy. Also, you don't get a CSV file that you can download into the system. You just get a paper invoice.
A dot matrix
with the tear-off tabs on the sides. The other thing I enjoy is that there's no uniformity for the titling. So we can have Flash Volume 1, Flash Run Fast Volume 2, and The Flash Running Faster Volume 3. It also only has so many characters. So I got 3 volumes of Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare, of which there are 3 volumes. But you couldn't tell because the numbers were cut off. It was also just 3 different ways. It was P.V.Z. Garden Warfare, PVZ Garden Warfare, and then the third one was something else. So they're not even uniform along the name. My favorite was I ordered Superman Volume 1 Unity, which was the first of the Bendis runs. And they abbreviated that SM. Because you always abbreviate Superman SM. They also abbreviate Batman BM.
No, that's not Batman. That's but the movement.
It just, it's like, but there's no uniformity. You could order 10 Batman titles and it'll be BM Batman, you know, trying to find them is fun. I couldn't find that third Flash volume because it was under T for The Flash. It's just like, no.
I mean, look, it's a technique.
It is. So we finally got something we could actually import into the system so I could say, here's what's coming. And then we did get the invoices, but it's funny, the packing list that they send with it. So this week we had Amazing Spider-Man 75 that had like 7 covers. And instead of saying, you know, the artist name or anything, it had ASM 957-432-9997.
Is that the ASM?
It's the SKU.
Yeah, so now you got to look at the individual SKUs to know which book it is.
Right.
Because you're going to do that.
Right, to check them in. So luckily I can check it in on the computer, but I still don't completely trust it because I don't trust them yet. So I get the boxes, and only a few of them had super obvious damage, but there were only 4. So next week is 8. So yeah, I'm planning
double
for the
damage.
The rolling the dice. But the problem here, Dave, I brought it as a visual aid, is this is the box. It's a very small box.
Complete with crushed corner.
It weighed 11 pounds. So if you look inside, you can see the crushed corner. You can look inside, see all the crushes inside. And it's like, so yeah. Literally the bottom 1.5, 2 inches had no chance. And the problem is because, at least with Diamond, if one is crushed, well, you lost part of one half of the box.
Right.
Where in this, you lose all of it. There's nothing salvageable. And a lot of people had damages where they were dropped on this side, thus killing the entire
box. The whole
box,
yeah.
And it just, as soon as I got it, I'm like, how did somebody look at this and go, this is acceptable? Especially because the guy in charge of the whole comic side is the former sales manager of Valiant and a former comic store employee. He worked at Forbidden Planet in New York. So I'm like, how could he look at this box and go, that'll be perfect?
We're good.
What could be the problem? Really thin sidewall. You know, there's almost nothing to the box.
That's really thin.
Yeah. And it's just, and the problem now, the biggest problem I have with, they're like, oh, well, they're aware of the problems and they're addressing them. It's like, okay, how? They can't suddenly have new boxes this week. I'm assuming they took time to look at this. And my favorite thing is, one of the things I heard is, what, you know, it passed all the testing. Well, the testing they do on a box like this is stacking. How many can they stack before it crushes down? And this has high crush strength. Well, that's not the problem with these. Yeah, let's see. Here we go. Yeah, it's got a 44-pound crunch test.
Oh, 44, that's only four boxes.
Right, but that's great. That's not the problem. I'm not worried about this box getting crushed.
That's not what I'm saying. It's only four. That's a small box. That's not that high. Yeah. Most places are going to stack them a lot higher than that.
Well, no, because they'd fall over.
Okay.
But that's not... It's like they didn't test real world. I want to ask the people, do you ever go look at the back of a truck as a UPS guy is unloading it? That's all you need to see, is he stepping on boxes and pushing them out of the way. And, you know, I think from here, I think I have four transfers before it gets to me.
Yeah.
That's four opportunities for it to be dropped.
Let me see that box real quick.
And, you know, that box has eight corners. You know, my chances are...
Okay, that's what I thought.
What?
It's shipping from Indiana. It's shipping from Crawfordsville.
Okay.
Because they have two locations. It's either Westminster, Maryland, or Crawfordsville, Indiana.
Okay. But it's so... I know at least it's going to New Stanton, then to Washington, then to here. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming it's probably going from Indiana to somewhere else, then to here.
Probably Memphis.
Could be. But I'm just saying, so there's plenty of opportunities for it to get... You know, it has to be handled. And it's just, it just really surprises me that they tested and found this. And then, you know, people are like, oh, it'll get better. I'm like, how? So they need better boxes. That's not going to happen instantaneously.
But that's not the problem. That's a symptom of the bigger problem, that they don't understand how the business operates.
Right. So then it gets to be a little bit more fun. I did not get this email yet, but I have also not gotten any response to my damage report. But I did see online someone posted where they're saying, because of the high volume of damages, they're not accepting bent corners as a justifiable damage. It's still sellable. Only like torn, ripped books will they consider damaged. And I'm like, well, that tells me they don't understand the market they're in.
Yeah, because you don't get to determine. You can say this is still sellable, but it doesn't mean it's going to get bought.
And the point I made was that Spider-Man this week came out with seven covers. Mm-hmm. The last Harry Potter book didn't ship with seven covers. It's a book. It's an item. And that's what they're used to dealing with. This ship with seven covers because it's collectible and people want a certain thing. They don't want it.
They don't want it damaged.
They're not going to pay $6 for something with a crushed corner.
Right.
But their attitude is, it's a widget, it's fine, move on. And that scares me a lot, because I mean, the problem is they are limited. It's a limited edition. They only make so much.
Right.
So, you know, while they're not all valuable, we're still selling limited edition collectibles. And they're not looking at it that way.
Well, and the other thing, because it's Marvel, is they do a lot of covers that are incentive variants.
Right.
So those are even further limited. And if they're not saying, well, you know, those are true collectibles. Those are, you know, the people are buying the 150, the 1 in 100. They're not taking little bent corners.
Right.
So now you're stuck with it. Now you've overbought on the regular product to get that variant for your customer that you can't sell. And you're not going to know you can't sell till the day of.
Yeah. And it's just everything about it just is like, this is not good. Nothing about this is good.
I would say you should talk to them at the next retailer summit, but they don't go.
Well, Marvel doesn't, but... Here's the bigger problem I have is this. Penguin's not out any money.
No, they're just...
They don't own the stock. They're just shipping it through. They are paid to ship the books. They ship the books.
Right.
Marvel doesn't care. They printed 1% over for damages. Once they're gone, they're gone. Have a nice day.
Right.
So it's like nobody cares. The only people with the financial interest are us. Mm-hmm. And the problem is that... every damaged one is a potential lost sale.
Right.
And even more beautiful is something like the Spider-Man that came out today is the first issue of a new weekly series, weekly ongoing book.
A weekly?
Oh, yeah. Spider-Man's now weekly. Well, it's three times a month plus a special.
And they did that before. Yep. It was three times a month at one point.
Yep. So if you don't have any copies of the first part, how are the rest of those going to sell? And guess what? We've already ordered the first four. Another thing that I liked is Marvel announced either last week or the week before that due to printing problems, they are having to extend the FOC. So now instead of ordering 3 weeks before the book ships, we have to order 4 weeks before the book ships. Which is great because that means we order on Monday and the book comes out Wednesday. So we've ordered number two when number one comes out Wednesday. I realize this is a secondary problem because now I have to order, I have to put in my final orders for number four, not knowing if I'm actually going to get sellable copies of number three. So, which is going to greatly affect my sales on number four.
Mm-hmm.
And based on what I'm seeing, there's a high probability I won't get, not maybe not all, but some of my copies of issue three will not be sellable.
Yeah, I think you have to know you're not going to get 100% sellable.
Right.
But the question is, you're going to have 80% like you did this week, or you're going to have 20%. And you're not going to overorder by 20%. Because you're left holding the bag if you can't sell those copies.
Like somebody said, I could sell these, but not at $6. You know, and so, you know, they're going to have to lower their price. They're going to have to do something if they're expecting us to sell damaged merchandise.
That's the other question about a weekly Spider-Man series. When Spider-Man was running three times a week, it was like $1.50 cheaper than what it is now.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Well, it's going to be four. It's not going to be six. They're just the first one is, but.
Okay.
But
yeah, but when it was running before, it was like.
Oh, I forgot to grab the invoice. Sorry.
I forget what it was, but it wasn't.
It's probably $2.99.
Yeah, okay, $2.99.
But, yeah, it's just everything about this is just a mess. And it's like, you know, and the other thing, now Joe did mention that they're not allowed to say anything on social media, but I'm like, their silence is deafening. The fact that this has been a problem since Monday, and it's Wednesday, and they have said
nothing. Who's not allowed to say anything? Marvel or Penguin?
Penguin. But it's like just nobody is saying anything. And it's like, and like I said, I haven't even heard if I'm getting replacements or not. Luckily, I was able to, I went on to Diamond and ordered replacements for most of the books that were damaged. And, it, you know, at worst, I'll get double.
Yeah.
But I really feel I have no chance of getting any replacements from Penguin right now because there's no way they have the volume of damaged replacements.
I don't know what they could say.
I don't either, yeah. But saying nothing...
Are bad?
Yeah, but saying nothing is...
Yeah, no, that's...
Just not good either, you know. Gosh, sorry we poisoned the water in the city. You know, we're not going to say anything. We're just going to let it play out until nobody talks about it anymore, yeah. You know.
It's just a little poison.
Yeah, but it's just, yeah, it's just like... it does not give me confidence, and... I'm disappointed that this happened. I've already put in my orders for Venom number one and Hulk number one, and it's like, I really wish I could have done that over because I would have cut my orders in half because I'm not willing to take the chance because knowing that I'm going to be out money.
Yeah.
Yeah, just none of it is good, and it's just, yeah, everything you're seeing online is true. So, let's see. And then Zach also asks, was Penguin Marvel just paying lip service saying they were listening to the concerns of retailers when it came to shipping, yet still went ahead and did what everyone was afraid they would do? I don't know what they did, but I have to say yes, because they definitely didn't listen. The frustrating thing is there's a guy that I know whose store is right near their warehouse and offices, and he's like, he had them out to his store to show them. And apparently they took nothing away from it. He said, ship me some boxes so we can see how they arrive. They chose not to do that. And I just, you know, definitely feel it's a case of we know what we're doing. And they didn't. And it's not like we're a unique thing. It's just, it is a collectible.
No, but the product that they're used to shipping is typically much more...
Well, durable, and people, like Sam's Club isn't going to lose their mind if a box of one of a book that they get in has dinged corners.
No.
This is different. It's a, it's a different beast. And that's my fear, is they don't realize that it's a different beast. They're viewing it as a book is a book. So we're just, we're in trouble. Jermaine had asked me, because a lot of people are talking about going back to Diamond. He's like, how will that help? Because they're getting their books from Penguin Random House. I said, yes, but not in those boxes. They're probably getting factory cases, and they're getting them on a pallet.
Yeah.
Which is a lot different.
Yeah. I mean, no one's going to pick up and throw a pallet
on it. No. Printer puts it on a pallet, or at worst, Penguin puts it on a pallet and sends it to Diamond. So that's less opportunities to be dropped. But yeah, the pictures I'm seeing online are not good. Yeah, and it, you know, and even people are saying, well, I only had 10% damage, but honestly, 50% of what I put on the shelf, I normally wouldn't. You know, but I can't not have 50% of my shipment.
Right.
So hopefully people will take it, you know, they'll take some. But yeah, it was not pretty. So we'll see. And my concern is next week's shipment is twice as big. So not looking forward to that. So, yeehaw. I mean, it's nice they're listening now, but my problem is now they had 6 months to prepare. Now everything is going to be flying by the seat of the pants, trying to, you know, throwing duct tape on a problem instead of sitting down and going, okay, how can we make this better? It's all going to be, I feel it's going to be rushed. Like they're probably now trying to find a box that'll fit both two of these in it. Okay, yeah. But that's not... That's, you know, there's other problems. Right.
If that's what they came up with in 6 months.
Right.
Well, okay.
And like, Diamond listened to us and started putting corner protectors in their boxes. In the bigger box, they've added corner protectors. That literally has stopped most of the damage. The other damage is all internal. The Dynamite books are, I don't know if they're fragile or what, but the ratio variants I get all have spine creases in them. And it's, I don't know why. It's definitely not a shipping issue. It's an issue on either at the print. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Where most come in fine, but it never fails that 1 in 50. It's bagged and boarded with a big spine crease in it. It's like, I can't, that's no good.
Yeah.
That does me no good.
In fairness to Penguin Random House, we kind of had an adage in the Army, no plan survives first contact.
Yeah.
They had 6 months to plan, but until they actually execute it,
I get
they
it.
They don't know.
No, absolutely. And some things were unforeseeable. Being able to get us tracking numbers,
that was foreseeable. Yeah.
The packing list in actual with the numbers and things on it, that's
preventable.
Yeah. Like I said, a test shipment of that just to their own office.
Yeah.
Just to see how the box holds up to UPS. I can't believe they did that or said, oh, that's acceptable. So that's my concern is it's, I don't know. I mean, I don't work there, but when you know condition is important, which was reinforced to them by every retailer I'm sure they talked to.
Yeah.
Because that was always a problem with Diamond was damages, and Lunar packs much better. I've had very few problems with Lunar, but they pack an inner box, an outer box with bubble wrap around it. I mean, the inner box has bubble wrap around it in an outer box. So then there's space at both corners, so even a drop on the corner
won't kill
the box. So it's like we've seen how it can be done right, and you went that way. Just disappointing. But then my concern is, you know, okay, you can fix it. How long will that take when we're dealing with weekly shipments?
Well, and how much will it cost is the other thing.
Right.
You know, right now you're getting free shipping.
Right.
But
if they have to invest,
it's probably going to cost you, and you already lost your discount. So is that really worth it?
Right.
Now, and I understand it. Some retailers probably made out on the deal of going to Random House because.
Oh, some are getting a better discount than they were getting. Right. Absolutely.
But like you, you're not getting a better discount. Right. So then if you lose the free shipping, it's like, you know, here, let me kick in the balls and while you're down.
Free shipping and 50% damages, or even 20% isn't going to fly. Sure. I mean, luckily, the only one that was it took a real beating on, other than a bunch of, you know, a few here, a few there of main titles, a lot of variants I lost, but like the Eternals book that came out today, I lost three quarters of.
At least, you know, 10 times a year they come out with a $10 book.
Yeah.
That's going to be the box that gets damaged.
Yeah. Well, the way it seemed to be this time, they packed all the variants in one box, and invariably that seemed to be the one that was damaged.
Right.
Is that symbolic, Tim? Mm-hmm. The throwing away of the... Were those the only two overages?
Yeah.
Excellent. At the end of the polls, there's always a few stragglers, either ones that I mentally pulled for a person or just somehow grabbed the wrong number. So there's always a few left that I get to go over and look, and Tim just texted me too, and he knew who they were for too. So that's just, but it was a light week. So
it was, I only had two books.
Yeah, well, Marvel was about half of what they normally are. I don't know if it was a Penguin issue or what, but it was like there was no Star Wars books.
Can't find these things.
Well, you can, but... And we also have a paper shortage staring us down. Apparently, there's a paper shortage going on, so...
Okay.
Hasn't hit us yet, but... So... But the other thing I wanted to talk about, and this is completely personal, but a friend of mine posted, who has a store, saying he feels this job is so much harder than it was 5 years ago. And if he had known what all we had to do now... Before he opened, he wouldn't have done it. Now, he's been open more than 5 years. But he's right. 5 years ago, this was a much easier job. Right now, it's pretty much a nightmare. Just the amount that we have to do. Back then, it was you did one monthly order. And each week, you would tweak it.
Yeah.
You, on FOC, you could adjust your numbers up or down. Not a big deal. You get one shipment on Tuesday. Maybe if you do a reorder, you'd get another shipment. You leaving, Tim? Could you grab me the invoices? They're just on the side counter. Maybe you'd get a reorder come in.
Yeah.
Well, now, with all the rigmarole, we have to do a monthly order for Diamond. We have to do the weekly adjustments for Diamond. Thank you, sir. We have to do a weekly order for Lunar, for DC. And now, well, the weekly order was on Monday. And for Diamond, it's still on Monday. Lunar is on Sunday. We have to do by midnight on Sunday because they want the numbers when they get there Monday morning. Which I think is great. I'm like, do you work Sunday? But... Because the numbers aren't finalized till...
You own a comic book store. They know you don't have a life.
The numbers aren't finalized till 9 p.m. Friday. So we can't do it before that.
Yeah.
Or 8 p.m., whatever 5 p.m. out there. But even that's not true. They change stuff all the way up until late Sunday. So we have that. Now, this is the one that kind of burns me. So we get the Diamond shipment Tuesday. So you'd know and you'd be ready for Tuesday. Lunar kind of ships whenever, and that's okay because I don't check it in until Tuesday. Okay. So it shows up and we just stack them aside. But like I think last week's came Wednesday, which is great getting them early. I just don't touch them until then because it's just rife with problems. Because if I open it up and scan it, then people, it's in their sidebar and they think they can buy it.
Yeah.
Or it's on the website. Or people asking for stuff late, now I'm having to pull from the box of shit. It's just... creates and then it's not on their list for their email and then they freak out because it's not on that and it's just it's easier just to leave it. Well, apparently Penguin Random House is going to start shipping and we'll have the books on Monday, which is great. It gives us an extra day to process them and everything.
You're not here on Monday.
Well, I wasn't here on Monday. I am now required to be here on Monday to check the order in. Okay. So I've lost a day off, and that means I have to get here by 9 for UPS, hoping they show up.
Right, because you never know what time they'll show up.
Correct. So yeah. I get to sit here and wait on Monday for them to show up and then check it in. Because as I found out, damages have to be reported by 2 p.m. on Monday.
Well, what if you don't get the box till after 2 p.m. on Monday?
Which That's your problem.
Okay.
So, yeah. So I've now lost a day off. Because of this greatness. And it's still going to cause a problem because I get a lot of orders Monday night and Tuesday.
Right.
For books coming out on Wednesday. So I'm still going to have that same problem that I was going to have with Lunar. And I might just start checking in Lunar early too now because...
You're already here doing it.
It's the Wild West. But the other thing is, so if I put in a... Like I said, when I put in a reorder with Penguin, this one order I've received 6 separate shipments on for. So I'm getting boxes every day. And I have to check in books every day.
Because you got
to
do damages.
So it's like, oh, today I'll redo this display. Oh, nope. Here's a 3-box shipment that I now have to stop everything I'm doing and address.
Yeah, I see, that's just it. I understand, you know, the Barnes and Nobles of the world that have, you know, 10 employees on the floor at all times and they can kind of do things like that. Most comic book stores, at least most comic book stores I've ever been in, maybe 2 employees.
Come here for a sec, Tim.
You know, big ones, maybe 3 at a time. But a lot of times it's one person.
Yeah. So, for the book orders, they don't, like I said, they don't create a CSV file for us to import.
Right.
We have to get the box, get the invoice, create an invoice in the system. So, meaning you have to scan each item, correct it, put in how many there are, put in the cost off the invoice, and the invoice has to add up and everything. How much fun was that, doing that Penguin?
So, you have to scan it all in. You have to make sure it's there, which it's hard to tell what you're even supposed to get because of the way it's written on the paper.
Mm-hmm.
Once you put in, like, the amounts... The cost,
yeah.
Which you put in the cost, you create an invoice, and then once you create the invoice, you have to scan it all in again.
Then you have to check it in and do it all over
and
again.
And when you check it in, all the prices are at 0. So you have to fix the prices, because if you don't,
it'll sell at zero.
Right.
Nonsense.
And so even if it's damaged, you have to create it in the invoice because the total has to add up.
Mm-hmm.
Only to not check it in.
Yeah.
It's just the sheer time is just maddening involved in doing this stuff. And it's just like, it's taking away from everything. He's like, I used to, you know, do displays. I used to sit and read. Gosh, I have nothing going on right now. Bob can watch the counter. I'm going to sit and read this book I've been wanting to read. There's no time for that. There's no time for anything.
My shop that I went to before here, it's one guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one guy. Nonsense.
Yeah. But it's just the volume of busy work has increased. Well, and then to do a reorder, well, I have to reorder DC through Lunar. Unless Lunar doesn't have it, then I have to order it from Penguin. I have to order now Marvel from Penguin. Everybody else through Diamond. So that's 3 separate reorders you have to do. Each one has to be done differently. And it's like, I used to have a budget. For how much, like, especially on the initial order, how much I'd want to spend, how much I'd want to spend on a reorder. Now it's, who knows what I'm spending? I have no clue because 3 separate people, 3 separate bills, it's just...
Right. It's not that you can't figure out, but before you got one invoice, you can look at it and see where you're
at. Well, I know on my initial order, I want it to be here. And if it's over that, okay, well, I can cut those toys. I don't really need that. I'd get it where I'd want to be.
Yeah.
Weekly reorder, I want to be in a certain area. So I'd then... remove things that I didn't really need that week. Maybe next week will be lighter so that I know what my invoices are going to be now.
Yeah.
Who knows? It's chaos. And it's just frustrating. It's making it a lot less fun. There's not a lot of fun here anymore. And then you add in, oh, great, half my order's damaged.
Yeah.
Or the fear of, is half my order going to be damaged? There was a guy down in Atlanta who was losing his mind the entire weekend because he had no tracking numbers. And he didn't know if the books were coming, and they were listed on the website as being shipped for the 11th. And he's like, so am I not getting books this week? I don't know. I don't have tracking numbers. It says, and they're like, oh, it's just an error on the site.
If You know, it's an prove error. It. Fix it.
Yeah, prove it. Show, what are my tracking numbers? Have they shipped? It's Saturday. You're saying they're going to be here Monday. You have tracking numbers.
Right.
Where are they? What are they? And, you know, it's just, it's... And it's just, no, that's good, Tim.
And I assume
that... Nice ticket number.
69?
You are correct, sir.
I know, man.
He knows where our heads are at, Tim. Have a good one.
Bye, Tim.
Enjoy the lot. Yeah. Tim was all excited because he purchased his final bad idea book.
Final bad idea
book. Oh, crap. I might have to do... Oh, crap.
Aren't they all final at this point?
Oh, I'm going to have to do this. I'm going to have to wing it. Okay.
That's all right.
Oh, I am so sorry.
Wing it, Colin.
Well, I don't have the Marvel one, which is just a CSV... file.
That's not a CSV file. That's the point.
Well, it is. It's a
dot matrix.
No. I wanna get this right. Hang on. Sorry. Talk amongst yourselves. But it was interesting seeing his comments and realizing, yeah, this is not nearly as much fun. It's work with very little reward and a lot of stress, and that's what made me annoyed. Is after the heart attack and everything, I really have not been letting anything stress me out. I've been really just going with the flow, you know, it's going to be okay type of thing. And then get this
happens, like...
and it's like, you know what? I don't know if I can survive with no Marvel comics.
Right.
And that's almost where we're at. I have no confidence I will have any Marvel comics next week. Mm-hmm. So even though I have $2,000 worth coming,
do you?
I don't know that I will actually have them.
You have $2,000 of sellable Marvel comics. That's the issue.
So let's see. There we go. Pre-delivery report. But like this week was 346 units. Next week is 660. So about double.
Okay.
And no tracking numbers, no nothing. You know, granted, it's only Wednesday. I'm not expecting tracking numbers. Okay, let's see if I can do this. It might not work. I really don't have a way to look at a CSV file on my phone.
Probably not.
Yeah. Okay. I will. Before we do that, when one of you is talking at a book I haven't read, do not take offense when I jump up and run away.
Now if you come back.
But yeah, the fun stuff, the neat stuff, the little, you know, it's just, I just,
yeah.
And then I get home and there's always more to do. There's, you know, you doing the reorders at home instead of sitting here doing them. You know, I'm doing them at home at 11 o'clock at night. You know, yeah. It's just.
No, and in fact, it wears down on you. And, you know, I think 5 years ago, you know, we were kind of in peak nerddom.
Yeah,
know, where now, you know, I think even without things like COVID and the economy being where it is and everything else, it's not what it once was.
But it's funny because we have so many great books. People want them. You know, X-Men is doing well. We're just, you know, relaunching Spider-Man without relaunching it. Mm-hmm. You know, lots of good stuff. Lots of stuff people are excited about. Now it's like, oh, maybe you'll get it. You know, it's like. Really?
No, but I mean, just in general, there's...
Yeah, the world is different.
There's
less people
excited about... it's almost like fatigue. Because, you know, there's been so many movies and TV shows and everything else. And I think, you know, where, you know, say between 2012, 2015, you can make money hand over fist in here. Because everybody, you know, every... 8-year-old was coming in here with mom and dad. Mm-hmm. I want this, and I want this, and I want this. And it's probably not. I don't even remember the last time I've seen kids in here.
Well, then no, they're still. I mean, that's a constant. That's an ebb and flow. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, it's just, I don't know. Just seeing we keep getting new hurdles placed in front of us to get to the same place. And it's, why is it harder to get to point B? You know, why are you making it? And everybody right now is. Diamond, not so much, but DC made it harder. Marvel made it harder, and there's no benefit to us. That's my biggest thing. It's like, well, if I was doing all these steps to, you know, for a better discount or whatever, and instead it's like,
well, yeah, but that would be different.
You know, we're doing this to make less. Okay. So I definitely see a lot of stores not surviving this, or just giving up. A lot of talk of people going back to Diamond, which is funny. Only it's a worse discount, but there's that reliability, and you know, a lot of people are having trouble too. It's funny because Comic Suite Diamond system is not working well with Lunar, and I guess apparently not working at all with Penguin, and it's almost intentional. It's like they won't provide them the data in a format that they need, and it's like, wow, is that petty or what? But
well, but I think, you know, long term, that will hurt their sales.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's very similar to the DC Connect thing. Oh, no, we're going to save a couple bucks here. We're not going to print this. Okay, but then we don't know what's coming out. We're not ordering it. Conversely, you're not ordering it, so they're not getting the sales.
Yeah, no, Marvel's going to take a bath on this.
Yeah.
And they have no one to blame but themselves. But yeah, I mean, like a store, you don't get any Amazing Spider-Man 75. That's, yeah, great. You already have me locked in through 76, 77, 78. My number from 79.
Yeah, you're going to...
is going to crash. You know, it's... well, I was ordering 75 and now I'm down to 25. You know, all because two of the previous five issues I didn't get any of due to damages, due to stupid boxes.
Yeah.
But yeah, yeah, John down in Maryland, I guess, had all the executives into a store, showed them everything. He showed them examples of different grading on books and what we need. This is what customers are expecting. And, oh, well. I'm like, it's a brand new car with a crushed fender. No, I'm not paying you list price for that. Yeah.
You had a bad attitude, man.
I do.
I'm not paying for a broken car. What the hell's wrong with you? You want a new car?
And even better, because they're collectible, it would be like a classic car. Yeah. Not just a run-of-the-mill Chevy. But joy, joy, fun. It's always fun in games here. So
it is.
Love and life. But that's all I got as far as event. But yeah, it's just, this is not a whole lot of fun right now. So I'm kind of enjoying taking a little more time off. Like yesterday, about 4 o'clock. Well, to be fair, my feet were killing me after standing all day checking in three different shipments. And it was like, I'm going home. So it's nice to be able to do that. That's why I got a little more red than I normally do, because I started at 5.
Well, you know, it's your story. You
can, I'm getting old. You know, I get it.
You know, I didn't want to be a dick.
Why change now?
Yeah, I know.
So, Pat, you said you read three
books. I read three
books.
Whole books, yeah. So the first one I read was Crossover. The Return of Crossover.
Take no offense.
Fine. Be that way. Dave, did you read that?
I read it. Okay. I read it. Go ahead.
It started off apologizing for the Chip Zdarsky thing.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that issue.
That's a contender for like my issue of the year. That was absolutely brilliant, I thought.
Yeah. And then, you know, we start with Ellipsis, and was it Danny or Dylan?
Dylan.
You know, kind of held up in a hotel room, arguing. And you know, I he's pissed that she lied because she was a character the whole time, but you know, she's like, right, but you burned down a comic book store with right. people in
right.
it.
Right.
Well, my dad told me to do it, but you burned down a comic book store with people yeah. in it.
Yeah.
And then eventually, was it the detectives were from Powers?
Yeah, Christian Walker and Dina Pilgrim, who Zdarsky went to at the end of the previous issue for help to find the comic book writer killer.
Right. So, you know, they kick in the door, and initially she thought that they were there for her.
Yeah.
So she pulls out the sword and, you know, threatens them, and they take her out pretty quick. I assume tranquilize.
Yeah.
But they were there for Dylan the whole time, because he's apparently the key. And they take him to like a police station, and his
I think it's a powerhouse.
Is that what it is?
The building where they're keeping some of the escapees or whatever.
But his dad's there.
Yeah. Yes.
They have his dad captured.
Yeah, and they say they have a lead on the killer, and the dad's will only talk to his son.
Yeah.
About it.
I didn't think this issue was as good as the last one, but I think it's going in a different direction. I think it's setting up something good.
Oh yeah, for sure. I love the series as a whole. Agree with you. Not quite as good as the last one, because I was expecting a bigger surprise on the last page than his dad.
Yeah,
because he says, because even Dylan says, "Who do you got? The Joker, Venom?"
Yeah, Carnage. Yeah, that's it.
Whoever he says. But
yeah, and you're right. You know, you expect something. It was like almost anticlimactic.
Yeah, just because every issue has been so good, but still, it was great. I love the book. I love it.
Robin, I'm probably the only one reading that. Or are you reading that, Dave?
No.
So the tournament finally starts, and they're up to round three now, and. Damien is determined to, you know, figure out what's going on. So I think character's name is Mother Soul. He steals her book, and just as he's starting to read it, and he's like, "Oh, I think I know who she is." You can see like a hook chain coming behind him, like he's about to be taken out by somebody, and you know, obviously we don't know who. But it could be Ravager or one of a few different characters. This book is fine. It's not great. It's fine. I like Damien. I know that's controversial because a lot of people don't like him, but I like Damien. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's not really
maybe some writers write Damien better than others, or you have a feel for him better.
And you know what? It's not even that. It seems like it's taken forever to get to the tournament. Mm-hmm. We don't really know enough of what's going on. Where, like, when they did the series of him a few years back, where it was essentially him atoning for all the time he was in the League of Assassins, I think that was you gave him something to do. You gave him purpose. You showed him growing as a character. Watching him fight other people and breaking people, like, that's just what he does. There's nothing new there. There's nothing to it. Mm-hmm. Other than he's in a gray costume instead of in a red costume. But it's... Yeah, I know. There's not really, just not feeling it. And the last one I read was Department of Truth.
I read that.
I'm lost in that book. So maybe you can help me out.
Okay. Go ahead.
So, Cole, he's still with the other group, or with the guy from the other group. And it's like the red lady or the lady with the X'd out eyes wants to do something with Cole, but I can't figure out what it is. Like what? And I think it's because the premise of the book is you know, if you believe something, it becomes true. Because, like, they were talking about Lee Harvey Oswald was very much into Reagan and you know, the city on the hill thing. And he wanted people to believe that, you know, to make it true. So it's hard to tell on there. Like, what is real and what isn't? And it's not that it's bad, but I think sometimes it's overly complex. Whereas, like, when you go back to the beginning of it, it was a very simple concept. If enough people believe the bullshit becomes real, the flat earth. And then we're the people that prevent it from happening. By the way, I'm Lee Harvey Oswald and I'm in charge. Simple premise. But now it's gotten so convoluted over...
Well, it's dangerous, this Hawk Harrison guy, because he's the fixer for the Department of Truth.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's admitted he's working for the other organization, Black Hat.
Yeah.
And he's trying to turn Cole to Black Hat.
Right.
And in this issue, they go back to Cole's, which this is like Cole's grade school.
Yeah.
When they said the teachers were performing satanic rituals with the kids or something.
Yeah, it was like in the basement. One lady killed herself. The one teacher killed herself.
And Cole drew a crayon drawing of the star-faced woman.
Mm-hmm.
And which I guess wasn't real, because in the previous issue, Hawk met back then, when Cole was little, Hawk met with his mom and to get her to do interviews to get this photo picture out there, so it became real. But he pulled. But in this issue, he says he pulled the plug on that,
okay,
because he thought that was too like insidious to do. And also, in the big bomb he drops at the end of this issue, is he thinks Lee Harvey Oswald is a tulpa, a creation
of the
distrust people have in government.
Yeah. You know, the other thing, I don't know if you noticed this. So it was issue 13.
Mm-hmm.
But it was only chapter 10. If you look at it, it was like on page 3, it said chapter 10.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
yeah.
I closed the book and I'm like, no, it's issue 13.
Did maybe, I stopped reading a bit ago, but I know there was like a Bigfoot up couple issues.
Yeah.
Could that have been a chapter? Those couple of issues were just one chapter?
Yeah, but I thought that was still part of the overarching story. And maybe that's why. Maybe I'm just reading this wrong.
Okay.
I thought that was part of the story. It was part of
the overarching story, because Hawk wanted to teach Cole about these magical beings and things
right.
like that to get him prepared for what's next.
Yeah, and that's what I thought it was. And so that's maybe, yes, they were part of it, but they were kind of like a primer for the main story, and so they didn't count. I don't know. It just, when I read that, I'm like, see, this is just overly complicating things.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Yeah. I'm reading these for leisure. If you're making me think, I don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah. One problem I have is sometimes it comes off as like a Wikipedia page, a couple pages when he goes through like the history of the black helicopters, and he went through the history of I forget what it was in this issue.
Well, and I think this book, sometimes the art is difficult to. It's odd, and I think it's more because it's watercolor.
Mm-hmm.
But it can also be very wordy at times.
Yeah.
And when you mix those two, it's hard to tell on the page, like, what the hell is going on in this book?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because the words aren't really telling the story, but you're not letting the art tell the story either.
I think we mentioned that maybe you mentioned it, or in the first issue, I had a hard time telling that was the end of the Earth, you know, when they flew off. I had a hard time figuring out what that was, at least what that was supposed to, like, represent.
Okay. That's what I read.
Okay. I apologize for laughing. Somebody tweeted, pro tip, don't listen to the Sandman story 24 hours on Audible just as running motivation, or as running motivation on a treadmill. Just don't. And I just listened to that recently driving around. That was the diner scene. And I'm like, yeah, that was my least favorite issue of the entire run. And yeah.
At some point, I really want to read through that whole thing.
Oh, the rest is so good. Yeah, no, it
is.
It's
so hard to get through.
But it's so good. I'm midway through the second one. Maybe a little further. But it's so good. Just listening to it on Audible, like when I'm driving or if I'm cutting the grass, you know, when I have an hour and a half, it's like, hey.
Okay.
Dave, did you read anything? No, you didn't read a single book, Dave? Oh, real quick, since I ran to get the invoice, I grabbed the packing list from this week to show you, to give you an idea. And things like ASM 20180751000. And there should have been 50 copies of that. And then ASM 20180751000, there should have been 4. It's like... yeah, that's really pretty useless. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
You don't know.
But yeah, but that's great information.
Actually, that's better than what it was last week. Last week it was like on the old school dot matrix.
Well, that's what we get with our the book orders comes that way.
Oh, okay.
This is what we got with our comics.
I can't believe you don't know what ASM 20180751000.
Well, it's Amazing Spider-Man series 2018, because that's when that one started. Issue 75, and then whichever cover. But it's like, this is kind of useless.
Or Deadpool Black WBL.
Because, well, that's Deadpool Black and White. But it's like, you know, I could have somebody come in Monday and open the boxes and check everything in, but... no, like no.
Not just
off,
no.
Not off that.
No.
So, I'm sorry, Dave. Go for it. What do you read?
I have.
And if you read Edgar Allan Poe's Snifter of Death,
yes,
you violated the rules. So.
You violated the rules.
Yep.
Okay.
What's the rule?
We weren't allowed to put it out for sale until today.
Oh. Yes. Well, I just read it while we were waiting.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't put it on the shelf, but. It was already in the box, so I'm like... but it's like, why would you send me that note last Tuesday? It's like, please do not put these out. It's like, why?
Well, first one, Inferno.
I read that? One. Holy cow, okay.
The,
Finally, addressing Moira.
Yeah.
That they haven't touched since House of X and Powers of X, Jermaine.
This is Hickman playing the long game once again with all these callbacks and...
like, you're supposed to remember... I mean, granted, it did recap a lot, but...
like,
you don't remember one panel in a book from 5 years ago, Colin? Come on, man.
I did recognize, like, the first two pages are... who knows when that is happening, but it's a play on, like, the first two pages of... House of X, or maybe this House
of X. Well, but then, yes and no. Because it said they kept attacking and kept attacking and kept attacking. But, or was that just being reborn and going and attacking again, as opposed to everything being reset again? Because they weren't reset.
Yeah, I'm just talking about Emma when she...
oh, Emma, okay.
When she says,
okay.
When Charles comes out of the egg.
Yeah, to be my X-Men.
And how would you say this... what do you say in times like this, Charles? To me, my X-Men.
But just, it's Nimrod, and the X-Men keep attacking the Forge.
I wasn't,
and it had this list of all these attacks they made, but it's like, they didn't reset each time, because they're like, oh, they tried this, and we're learning. So, just odd.
Yeah. Then we get to the stuff with...
but it, I'm sorry, it had Wolverine and some other characters attacking the Forge to try to stop Nimrod, and they kept stopping them, and it was like they were learning how to stop them better each time.
Yeah, I think it was a flashback, too, of Mystique and Destiny
right
going to Mora.
And basically accusing her, saying, Because I think in that life, she was trying to get rid of mutants.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, no, you have to use your power for good and to help mutants. And if you don't, I'll track you down and kill you. And even though, you know, I'm going to die now, when we get reborn, I'm going to have this knowledge.
Yeah. Pyro sets her on fire.
Right. Moira on fire. On Moira. But then, and then in this one, basically, she's willing to help as long as they promise to never, ever bring Destiny back. And she's using that so that she can do whatever she wants, which made her seem very nefarious.
Yes, and Professor Xavier's like, you know, we'll erase Mystique. And then he goes to Mr. Sinister and tells him to collect any DNA left over from Destiny.
And then there was a long thing about with Scott and Jean leaving the Quiet Council. They needed to replace them. Yeah. And then it was almost like they were trying to push Nightcrawler out.
Yeah.
And Magneto was having second thoughts. And it looked like there was a lot of talk of change and change on the board and stuff. And then the big reveal at the end.
Yeah, what's going on
who
there?
Mystique nominates to be on the Quiet Council? Destiny, because she's been reincarnated. Much to Moira's chagrin.
Yeah.
So, we still don't have any Inferno-y stuff, but...
Yeah, but... It was good for
my... Yeah. I thought so, too. Yeah.
Yeah,
and knowing it's Hickman's big finale, you're assuming he's going to go out with a some panache.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to talk about it, Edgar Allan Poe.
Oh, dear.
Snifter of Death. I got to do it.
I didn't read it because I only brought it home yesterday. Oh. You know, because I was playing by the rules.
Well, I won't give away the
It wasn't. You didn't know the rules. Tim broke the rules selling it to you, technically. He's fired.
But I got to talk about it because this is a Mark Russell story of Monster Cereal.
What? That's how he got started.
Which monster?
Have I talked about how he got into comics? He was writing the Monster Cereal fan fiction on Facebook.
Right.
And a friend of his was a friend with a DC editor. And he'd like the posts and she'd see them. And she'd read them and found them hilarious. And that's how he got press.
Yeah.
So which monster was it?
It's the Maquis de Coco. Count Chocula.
Oh, okay.
He had already done this in the first issue.
Yeah, it's kind of been a continuing story with him. With Count Chocula.
Where they were trying to burn him in that
one. They're burning. The town is burning him at the stake in this issue because he killed a bunch of people at this restaurant, which was. I caught this. It was so funny. The restaurant's name was Je M'appelle. Jacques. My name is Jacques, but it sounds like Applejack's. Je m'appelle Jacques.
Okay.
For my, 4 years of high school French.
Nice. I took German, so I would have been lost.
But, so they're burning him at the stake, and then the Quaker comes in, who's the Quaker Oats guy.
That guy.
You know, with his curly white locks, and he says... He's pleading, you know, to don't do this to the Coco, because we don't know. There's no evidence that he did it. So he makes a deal with the townspeople. Don't just leave him tied up for the night and come back in the morning. And if he's burned from the sunlight, then you'll know he did it and he's a vampire. So they agree to that. And but in the middle of the night, the Quaker comes and he releases Count Chocula and tells him, "You're a vampire, so you're doing God's work, and you know, bringing wrath to the drunkards."
That's God's work.
Yeah, that's what, according to the Quaker.
Man,
bringing chocolatey goodness.
To the drunk, and there's like they show the three drunkards who are Snap, Crackle, and Pop, and
that makes sense. That tracks.
And there's and the drunkards and the prostitutes, and there's a scene with like the gentleman Tony the Tiger going to a prostitute. And since you haven't read it, there's a little twist ending. I won't give that away, but just
does it involve Booberry?
No, it's just another twist with Count Chocula and the Quaker.
Would you give it a thumbs up?
Yeah, it was just so good. And lastly, right, is Superman 78, number 2, which is...
That doesn't make sense, Dave. It was 78. Oh, you mean 1970. Oh, okay.
Yeah, Superman 1978, I should say, yes, number 2. Which is the continuation of the Christopher Reeve movies. This is a great all-ages book. I mean, for kids, no problem giving this to kids, you know, to get them hooked on Superman. It's done so well. But it starts with Lex Luthor gets out of jail on the greatest criminal mind of our time.
What about Otis?
Without Otis isn't in this yet.
He left Otis in jail?
Again?
He goes...
That cad.
He goes to his, like, parole officer or something, and he gets a job at Cord Industries in the cafeteria. Then he goes to his... He goes, like, outside Metropolis, his dingy apartment, and who's waiting for him inside is Superman. And Superman says he like advocated for his release because thinks he could like help society, but on the condition that, you know, they let Superman keep tabs on him. So Superman gives him a head of one of the Brainiac drones to see if he can like figure out what it is and where it's from. And then we're back at the Daily Planet, and Superman overhears Lois talking on the phone that there's a giant object coming from deep space. So he goes up on the roof of the Daily Planet to take a look, and it's Brainiac's ship. So Brainiac touches down and basically tells, you know, everyone, you know, you have a Kryptonian living among you, and he's going to be bring destruction to this planet, much like he did his own planet. And, you know, all the drones, they start causing all this chaos, and Superman, he decides to surrender to Brainiac if it'll stop innocent people from being hurt. And I just love the book. It's done really well for the same rhythm and aesthetics of the movies, and the dialogue's great. They just do a great job with this. And that's all I got.
That's all you got? Okay. What, six more? Craziness.
Wow.
Human Remains. This is a new one from, I want to say, Peter Milligan and Vault. Mm-hmm. And basically, Earth has been invaded by these creatures that feed on emotion. It starts off with a guy going outside going, I can't take it anymore. Goes out, you know, I love my wife, I hate this, da, da, da. And all of a sudden this spiral opens up in the sky and this thing comes down and like just destroys him, like rips him, shreds him. And so... Apparently this is just what's going on in the whole world, and people have to stay emotionless. And it flashes back to when this kind of started, at the wedding of these two main characters, and like the whole wedding party is shredded. Interesting. It definitely kind of read very much like the pandemic, and those that believe, like there was a scene where all these people that didn't believe in it, and you can't hold up back our emotions and stuff, and they get all wiped out. And stuff like that. So it seems to be a little bit of an allegory. So, but that was good. I enjoyed that. Gun Honey was the hot one only because there was a Adam Hughes cover that everybody liked. But this is a new one from Titan. The Gun Honey basically can get a gun in anywhere you want. And it starts with her getting invited onto this boat because she's sunbathing all sexy, and they invite her on, and she has a gun in her bathing suit and gets it in, and then the guy shoots and kills somebody and she jumps off, and that's like her big thing, is getting guns into places for people who couldn't get a gun there anyway. I don't know if that's a real thing, but at the last scene she goes in, she puts the gun in this house, and then all of a sudden like the alarm goes off and everything, and she goes back to get the gun to shoot her way out, and it's gone, and then the guy that was going to get hit has it, and he's like, hello, gun honey. So, not bad. It was. Deathstroke, Inc. Deathstroke has been recruited by Trust, and I do apologize, I do not remember the acronym, but it's T-R-U-S-T. And they're like a secret organization, and they look kind of shady, like they like, they'll use bad guys or good guys, it doesn't matter, to achieve their goals, but he thinks he's being good. He's deciding, let me try being a good guy one last time. So he was recruited. There's like a... Oh, shoot. What was Punisher's little weapon guy that sat in the...
Micro?
There's a guy like that who... All the tech and stuff, like, you know, when they were done with this first mission, he brought in the drones to carry him out and stuff like that. Okay. And then his partner is Black Canary, who got recruited for something else. I forget why she was recruited, but she's there, I think, partially to keep an eye on Deathstroke. And so, yeah, they just do this first mission. It deals with Hive and stuff. It was good. I mean, the action was good. Everything was interesting. I'll keep up with it. It was interesting. Howard Porter art. So it was good. Just an interesting team up. Next is Batman versus Bigby, a Fables tale. This is Big Bad Wolf is in Gotham, and Batman's trying to figure out what's going on. There's all these murders, and it looks like it's done by a large wolf. And he's noticing weird things, like all the security cameras were taken out anywhere he appears. And he's like, it can't just be a wolf. And he's talking to Commissioner Gordon, and the Robins are there, and everybody's helping him. But interesting. And then at the very end, he meets him. He runs into him and ends up with, he knocks him out, knocks Big Bad Wolf out, and has him chained up in the Batcave. Night of the Cadillacs was won by Scout. It had an interesting premise about these vampires descending on Earth, and this one kind of giving up the fight for control of Earth to protect this one girl. I'm like, okay, we'll give it a shot. It was neat. It had a real thick cover. I'm like, you know, the production on this is nice. The art wasn't bad. I did show Dave that the sound effects were a little dominating. Like, the guy doing the sound effects was really excited about his sound effects. It was almost Howard Chaykin-esque from back in American Flag, where he incorporated the sound effects, but not quite as good.
Every time they hit the gas,
gong, 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 gong. You know, it's like the car can drive without, I don't need to hear it. The story was a little paint by numbersy. The art was fine, but a little stiff. It had a, you know, an indie vibe to it, where, you know, this could be good, you know, a little more, you know, work. But like I said, the art was fine, but just a little stiff. But yeah, it was. And then the last one I absolutely loved, which was Lock and Key, Hell and Gone. The second part is just a little 2-part story, where the sister, her brother, after World War I came home and like couldn't deal with it and ended up killing himself. And she's going to hell to bring him back because he doesn't deserve that. And so, being that she has the keys, she gets in. In the first issue, she meets the Sandman and gets his tools, his helm, his bag of sand, his ruby. And this one starts where she had arrived in the Dreaming, and the Corinthian had tied up Lucian, the librarian, and was imitating her, or imitating him. And it kind of has her like, oh, okay. And then he takes off his glasses and he has his teeth for eyes. So this one starts off, she quickly recognizes that he's not who he is, and she takes him out, and he's attacking her. The park guy from the Sandman, I forget his name, something green, comes along with her, and she just goes down to hell, because they show her a book and it had the key of hell on it. She's like, I have that. And they're like, what? No, you don't. And she goes back to the lock house, and she makes the key to hell and goes down and confronts Lucifer, and she escapes with her brother. And then somehow it turns out that then she's invited up to heaven, and heaven has Lucifer before he's cast down, and they take the key from her and tie it around his neck, so that like was the original key to hell. It got interesting. Demon was in it. Before he was a rhyming demon, she promised to elevate him to become a rhyming demon. It was just really good. The art was fantastic. And just a really nice story revisiting. Death is in it. She wanted to get her brother out of hell to give her father peace before he died. It was kind of the whole point of her doing it. And so he passes and death shows up. And she can see death because she got some of the Sandman sand in her eye. So now she can see the endless. But yeah, it was just a quick little story, but it was really, really well done. Really very enjoyable. I give it a 10. So.
Good beat. You danced to it.
Absolutely.
Nice.
I want to mention one quick thing about that Superman.
Yeah.
About that Superman issue. I forgot one important thing. It's the return of the giant cellophane S.
Oh, nice. Nice. You threw it at somebody?
Yes.
Okay.
But I had to mention that.
Okay. So, Patrick.
I would ask what's coming next week, but we kind of covered that a little bit earlier. We don't really know.
No, I do. I do for the most part. But we have Batman.
You just don't know what condition it'll be.
Well, yeah, I don't know if it'll be sellable. I know it's coming, but or they're actually charging me for it. So we have Batman 89, number 3. People have been enjoying that. This is an interesting Batman, the Audio Adventure Special. Apparently on HBO, there's going to be a podcast. I can't quite wrap my head around that. And this is a prequel to the podcast. And the best thing is because I'm doing the script because we're doing the TV show in the morning. And it says the something about the podcast, but saying, you know, the renowned podcast. But I'm like, this is a prequel. It hasn't happened yet. What are you talking about?
Never heard of a prequel to a podcast.
Yeah. Wow. We have Batman the Imposter is a new one. Basically, in the early days of Batman, there's an imposter who's dressing up as Batman, but he doesn't have the same moral code. And has no problem killing people very publicly. So Batman has to stop.
That's called the Punisher.
We have Batman and Urban Legends number 8 is a Fear State tie-in. We have Challenge of the Super Sons number 7. That's the last issue of that. Inferior 5, Dave. I think they're completing this in the trade. They never printed the final issues, and now it's just in the trade.
Oh,
I know. Because you're dying to know how it ends. I ordered a copy. We have Joker number 8.
I didn't even know that. They didn't end that. I forgot about that. Okay.
Strange Adventures number 12 wrapping up. And this is an enjoyable thing where it's like, come on, DC, get your act together. We got an email saying the barcodes are wrong. And here's an email with the barcodes. They printed them wrong on the books. It's like,
well, that doesn't really
is
do
it
you a
that
lot
hard? And then there's a Wonder Woman Adventures of Young Diana special. It was funny because today we got that DC Horror Presents Soul Plumber. And on the A cover, the main cover, it says 1 of 6. On the variant cover, it says 1 of 5. It's like,
you can't
come on, guys. I mean, if I notice that, I'm not a paid editor. Somebody has to notice that. Come on. So next week from Marvel, we have Amazing Spider-Man 76, Avengers 49, we have Black Panther Legends number 1, Eternals Forever number 1, and the biggie Immortal Hulk number 50, the last issue of that. Star Wars, the War of the Bounty Hunters gives us Dr. Aphra and War of the Bounty Hunters 5, which is interesting because there's still an IG-88 special to come. So I guess that's a post-War of the Bounty Hunters issue. We have the Darkhold Iron Man tying in with the Darkhold story that started today. And X-Men number 4. So then the rest, we have, I highlighted some just for Dave. Black Hammer Reborn number 4. Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, number 9. It's only been 4 years or whatever.
Yeah, I was reading that, too.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, and for Pat. Dead Box, number 2. It's like I highlighted all these for Dave. That's the Mark Russell book. This one's for Pat. It's ETER one-shot. This is from AWA.
I didn't realize that was a one-shot.
Yeah, I didn't either, but it says one-shot in the title. James Bond Himeros, number one. That's from Dynamite. May's Book, number two, from Jeff Lemire and Dark Horse. No One Left to Fight, volume two, number one. That's for Brandon. Star Trek Mirror War, number one. Telepaths, number two. That's another AWA book. Unbelievable Unteens World of Black Hammer, number three. That's the last one. So that's what we got going on. I'm sure I will regale you with more stories next week about the Penguin Random House shipment. But yeah, as of right now, not pretty. That's all I got. We got, it's horror month. Tim keeps putting out fresh horror graphic novels up there, so double points on all horror. And yeah, it's October, man. We're cruising towards the end of the year. Started the fourth quarter. Look out. So, as always, the website's pittsburghcomics.com. Facebook is Pittsburgh Comics. Twitter and Instagram are PGH Comics. So that's all I got. Patrick!
That's podcast.
We will talk at you next week. See ya.